Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Dais, a podcast about the stories taking place in and around El Paso County, Colorado. I'm your host, Scott Anderson, and today I am joined by Dr. Jason Lester, the Deputy Director of Children, Youth, and Family Services with the Department of Human Services here at El Paso County. How are you doing today, Dr. Lester?
I am doing so good. It's good to see you.
Good. Yeah, man. Thanks for being here. I was over here about a year ago doing an interview with Catania, and I knew that I would be back in this room one day talking to you, man. This is a long time coming.
I did not know.
I'm very excited for the conversation. But before we get started, I wanted to quickly add that if listeners are interested in more stories about people doing good in and around El Paso County, or hearing from county leadership about local government priorities and how they operate, you can find additional episodes of this podcast on your podcast platform of choice. But to get started, Dr. Lester, I was wondering if you could share some background about yourself and how you came to be associated with El Paso County.
Oh, man. Well, first, thanks again for the opportunity. And I got to tell you that for many years, I was trying my best to get into a position here at El Paso County Department of Human Services. And, you know, I started off as a social caseworker here in Colorado. And I had this awesome caseload of youth that were emancipating and, you know, going on either to the workforce or to the United States Armed Forces or to college. And, you know, it was just this rewarding experience to try to get people to the finish line so that they could just get into society and be, you know, that model citizen. And it became a lifestyle for me. And I really embraced being that social caseworker. I felt as though my life was important because I had to be there to stand in the gap, eliminate barriers for so many youth, and just get to a point where they could be successful. And that started in another county. And I did that for about 3 years. Then from there, I went on to another county where it was like my first leadership position. And I had the responsibility of being the adoption supervisor. And this was extremely one of the highlights of my career because I fell in love with adoption. And my sister Heidi, my late sister Heidi, she was adopted. And I just, you couldn't tell me a difference between Heidi, you know, being my adopted sister and, you know, our birth sister. She was my sister.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with the idea of adoption and creating permanency. At the time, we had a lot of kids in out-of-home placement that didn't have permanency. And through the efforts of this awesome team of 14 that I had the privilege of supervising, we were able to create permanency for so many kids. That got the attention at the Colorado Department of Human Services, and I briefly stepped in and became the permanency manager there, and it was just a great ride. Life gets in the way sometime, and sometimes we have to step back to move forward. And my wife and I, we wanted to spend a little bit more time focusing on our son, Ellington, and making sure that he had all that he needed to be just the awesome human that he is. And, you know, we were able to step back. So I got to go back to another county and be a supervisor. And I did that for a little while. Then I got recruited to be the director down at the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. This was fun because for the first time I was able to, like, you know, identify vouchers and get people permanent supportive housing and sometimes rapid rehousing, which is 2 years. And it was just fun. And people really enjoyed having to, you know, people enjoyed being able to have a place to call home. When we think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it really did help with creating some type of normalcy for folks. So I am also a professor at the University of Denver, and I happened to see that El Paso County had an opening for a deputy director position. And I told my class, you know, that, you know, we're going to do an experiment. I'm going to apply for this position. And if I get the opportunity to interview for this position, I'm going to do my best to either record it via Zoom or have you in class live while this interview happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, it happened during my class.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, you have the leadership here at El Paso County Department of Human Services, and you know, they're asking these questions. And meanwhile, while they're asking these questions, I am in a live classroom with students taking copious notes. And I said, when we get finished with this interview, I want you to tell me what I did well and what I did not do well. Mm-hmm. And it was an experiment. And I'll be doggone if I didn't get a call from Katanya saying, hey, we'd like to have a deeper discussion with you. Uh-huh. And I've been here ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made.
That's
the
so
people
cool.
here at El Paso County, our leadership team, executive leadership team, is phenomenal. And we really, really care not just about, you know, looking good, but being good. Mm-hmm. Focus on those metrics. And we want to be the premier county department in Colorado. So a lot of work has went in to all of the things that we've achieved. And I'm just happy to be here.
That's so cool. I've got to ask, because you did it during class, how many of the students were brave enough to give you constructive criticism on your interview?
Well, one thing about the students today is that they are going to give you some constructive criticism.
They're not afraid.
And after listening to them, I was like, there's no way El Paso County is going to call me back. You know, they was like, you kept moving your hands. And I just sometimes, you kept saying, you know, all these things. But luckily, the constructive criticism worked out.
Yeah.
And they said I did pretty well. So I was like, oh, okay. So here I am.
That's really cool. So what was your, what was kind of the idea behind offering them that opportunity to see what that process is like? Well, I guess, first of all, what class were you teaching? I don't think you even mentioned that, but how did showing them this interview fit in with the class that you were doing?
So the class is called Human Behavior and Social Environment. And, you know, I oftentimes have a full class. The capacity is usually about 24 students, and every quarter I'll have about 24 students in my class. And we were having a conversation about, you know, what's next and how to show up for an interview and just how to be this professional that you identify yourself to be. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the students to see a live example, and I wanted the students to recognize that in interviews, it's okay to talk about yourself, because if you don't talk about yourself, no one else will.
You're your best advocate, right?
And you will not get the position that you don't apply for.
Yeah.
So I just told them to look at me and really understand that this could be you.
Yeah.
In 6 months when you graduate.
Right.
And a lot of students have come to me and said, this was one of the coolest exercises that I've seen. And I thought it was cool, but, you know, I'm not interviewing for nothing else.
Right. Right. No, that's really interesting. And I think, too, like something like an interview, I think is really tough to simulate, because usually when you're trying to simulate it, you're doing with people that you know. Right.
Right.
And the majority of the time when you go to an actual interview, it's with people that you've never met before, or maybe you've met them before, but you don't really know them. Right.
Right.
So it's, you know, trying to learn how to read their body language and like what their words are actually saying versus what it sounds like they're saying. Right. Like trying to learn all of those different things in the moment is really tough. So offering them that opportunity to see like, hey, this is like an actual real interview. Did that make you more nervous having your students a part of that? Or did you feel a little bit more comfortable? You know, you kind of got people in your corner.
I had this adrenaline rush.
Okay.
And I was nervous.
Yeah.
Because I had never saw Katanya before.
Sure.
I had never saw our deputy executive director emeritus, Chris Garvin, before. Mm-hmm. I never met Stacy. And all of these phenomenal people were in this interview. And, you know, they were looking at me and they were stone faced.
Right.
And it was just like, I was like, I don't know if I did good. I don't know. But they did such a great job asking the questions, uh-huh. meaningful questions about practice, meaningful questions about, you know, being a part of the community and not apart from the community. Just outstanding. And leaving that interview, I was like, well, you know, I kind of hope that they give me a chance.
Yeah.
Because these people really do seem like they have it together.
Yeah.
And I'm like I said, I'm just grateful to be here. And it's the best experiment I've ever done.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And it's funny to hear you say it like that. I mean, I never had the opportunity to meet Chris Garvin, but, you know, I know Stacy and I know Katanya, and thinking of them as stone faced is just like, I can't even picture it. So like trying to imagine it being like that is actually kind of funny.
Now, Catania was the worst one though.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause I was like, oh my goodness, you know, but she later smiled.
Yeah, that's good. So now that you're here at El Paso County, yeah. Can you share some of, just some background about the department that you work in and what the main mission of the department is?
Absolutely. So, you know, here in El Paso County, we have the tremendous opportunity of being available to all that live in El Paso County. El Paso County is one of the most unique jurisdictions. One moment you can be on the Eastern Plains. One moment you can be in a major metropolitan downtown area. Mm-hmm. And then you can be over near the Western Slopes there. So it's just this unique place. And not just the land, the people. We have one of the most diverse communities, jurisdictions that exist in Colorado. And so many great people that we have to serve. So our whole thing is to create safety, permanency, and well-being, or ensure that safety, permanency, and well-being is happening with regard to children from birth, sometimes to the age 21. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what the Children, Youth, and Family Services Division is a part of. And we have other divisions here that, you know, some are able to provide, you know, bridge the gap with regard to food, bridge the gap with regard to giving a little bit of assistance to help people just make it. And we have adult protection here. And ultimately, what we have to be in this community is a trusted seat at the table. And we have to be available to help people navigate life and recognize that they can make it. And I think that this building, 1675, and the great people that work here, I think that they show up every day and they give their absolute best. Here in El Paso County, we have the largest caseload, meaning we serve the most citizens in Colorado. And we have to be good. We have to be there. We have to rise above and make sure that we're meeting the needs of our citizens. So ultimately, one can come to the Department of Human Services, and it's believed to be you get the services that you need, and you are able to turn on and go on about your business and be a successful person. You're already successful. Sometimes people just need a hand up, not a handout.
Right, right. You mentioned being a trusted seat at the table. Mm-hmm. How do you get there?
Well, one thing I know is the reason I highlighted being trusted is because it's one thing to exist, but it's a whole nother ball game to have the community's trust. And I think the way that we navigate getting there is by honest feedback, listening to it and responding to it. We need to be held accountable, and we're held accountable by not just the state metrics, but also how do we feel about our performance. Is there something that we could have done better? Is there something that we're lacking? What's working well? And looking in the mirror, our executive director, Stacy, is keen on us having a very honest conversation with, you know, what we're doing well, and then being unafraid to talk about what improvements we need to make. Yeah. This is a reoccurring conversation, and it is welcoming because it not only works here at the workplace, but then as you're driving home, you're like, you know, should I use premium gas?
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of this regular unleaded. And it just works out that way. And because we've been able to be transparent, because we've been able to do listening tours and hear what folks have to say, we have really had a great run here. And all our goal is just to continue to be better.
So one of the things that I always find interesting, where you come from a background of really kind of getting into a situation, being very hands-on in terms of, you know, having a big caseload and working with people on the ground level. And now you're in a position as a deputy director where you're probably, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is a little bit more of an oversight role. Mm-hmm. For someone who had such a passion for doing that sort of boots on the ground work, Are you still able to do some of that? Like, can you channel those passions you had from those times and still be able to do that kind of thing in the role that you have now?
Well, you know, like you hit on it, Scott, like the real important thing is now that, you know, we have to look at things from an elevated perspective and ensure that all of the gears are turning to make everything work. So unfortunately, I don't have the opportunity of, you know, going out to the homes and, you know, sitting with families and talking with them or, you know, any of that stuff. But, you know, from time to time, I get to walk around and, you know, sometimes I'm able to see, you know, families at during their visits in our loft. That's the loved ones, family time place that we have. And I get to, you know, see, you know, families. So that's encouraging. But I think that, you know, when one becomes a deputy director, you have to be involved in other things that are outside of the department.
Right.
And for me, like this year, I'm totally going to do a plug.
By all means, man.
So this year, the thing that's kept me excited is the March of Dimes, March for Babies.
Yeah.
And right now, I am number 5 in the country as far as getting donations.
Dang, man.
And I'm number 5. And it's just fun. And I think that, you know, that's my way of trying to provide an impact to, like, just be present with people, you know, because I think as a social worker, it never goes away. It never goes away. But as we have to look at things and at this level from a macro perspective and, you know, it's definitely different. And I think that when I was doing the day-to-day work, I always thought that, you know, I'll be a good social worker, I'll be a good supervisor, I'll be a good manager, I'll be a good director, but it's not linear.
Right.
And the only way that one learns to be in that executive role or that director role is to actually see good examples. And for me, throughout my career, and especially now, I have great examples with my leadership here.
That's great. One of the main things, and I was excited to talk to you about, April is Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And it's probably one of the, I guess, signature times for the Department of Human Services here at El Paso County. Can you talk to me about the month's significance and what your department is doing to celebrate?
Absolutely. So, you know, April is coming up pretty fast. I mean, I think it's next week.
Yep.
And, you know, during every time in April, every year, what we're trying to do is highlight the role we have here at El Paso County Department of Human Services and other places to prevent child abuse and neglect. Of course, it's no secret that child safety is a cornerstone to a strong community, and one that here in El Paso County, you know, that we embrace. Our whole region embraces it. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, to add some statistics to this, as of March 19th, 2024, we have received 5,022 calls. So 5,022 calls were made to our child abuse and neglect reporting hotline, you know, about El Paso County children. And I guess, you know, what I want to say, if anybody's listening and they're like, man, you got 5,022 calls, does that all turn into cases?
Yeah.
They don't, you know, they don't all turn into cases. And we truthfully don't expect those that are calling to know the ins and outs of what abuse or neglect looks like. We just want them, if they happen to have a concern about a child, to make the call. Every bit of information, you know, will help us determine, you know, is there safety concerns, you know, and I guess the bigger picture is that we want people to know that we want to work with them and ensure that all of our kids are safe. And I can tell you that, you know, our team here at El Paso County Department of Human Services, we are totally focused on working towards a more safer, permanent, and well-being for children in our community. Ain't no way. I didn't mean to say that. Ain't no way. I sound like my granddad, but he would say, ain't no way we could do this kind of work here at this county without the ongoing support of our community. So I want the community to know that we rely on them in order to do our absolute best work. And, you know, there are simple ways to support families in our community. I think that, you know, it could be listening to a parent who is struggling, or it could be just like providing that break and giving somebody, babysitting and just saying, hey, go watch a movie. You know, because I think what we want to normalize is like sometimes not being normal. And sometimes we all go through rough patches and we all need somebody to step in and say, hey, I got you. And everything's going to be okay. You know, I've been through this. And I think the best people to help someone, sometimes it's the best person to help someone is the person that's been through it themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that we need to normalize that it's okay to not be okay. And I guess, you know, people probably, you know, your listeners are like, well, you know, okay, if I suspect child abuse or neglect, you know, what do I do? Well, you can call the hotline. We have a state hotline at 1-844-CO-FOR-KIDS. And so, again, that number is 1-844-CO-FOR-KIDS. And the good thing about this is that here in Colorado, the number is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the beauty of it is that the calls are confidential. So your calls are confidential, so you don't have to worry about backlash or anything like that. All you need to do, if there's an issue, you make the call. So, I mean, you know, that's what I wanted your listeners to know. But I guess, you know, if I were to highlight some data, like specific data here in El Paso County, you know, as of March 1st, 2024, the hotline calls that we received was at 4,084. And then of those 4,084 hotline calls, that generated 3,043 referrals. And referrals, for your listeners, is just, you know, a written document to provide an overview of what the hotline call featured, some of those safety concerns alleged. And then from there, what we do is we determine, okay, now do we need to respond to this? Like, is this something that we should look into? Mm-hmm. So of the 3,043 referrals, we went out so far in 2024 of 919, you know? So we have people that are out there in the community and they're, you know, looking to address and see, you know, is there more support that families need? I want to debunk this myth that people have about child welfare here in El Paso County and all over the globe, for that matter. Our efforts are to keep kids safe in their own homes. When you see us, there's no need to go the other way or anything like that. We want to sit down with you. We want to, you know, ensure that we are able to assist you in getting the support that you need. And especially here in El Paso County, where we put an emphasis on customer experience. Now, of course, people aren't customers, but the idea behind customer experience and customer service is that people are, you know, receiving world-class treatment, and that, you know, what they're saying is valued, and they are approached with dignity and respect. And that's something that's the emphasis that we want to put, is that we see you, we recognize you, and we want to stand with you. And, you know, of that, you know, that those 919 assessments, you know, we are able to, you know, sometimes, you know, say, hey, did you know about this or did you know about that? And mm-hmm. families are saying, like, no, I had no clue about that.
Right.
And we're able to sometimes help families in identifying, you know, other people that can help them that's within their own family. So I just want to debunk that myth that when we knock on the door or we make a phone call, that automatically we're like, you know, trying to make things rough for the family. If anything, we want to make things better.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I think is really difficult from a services point of view here at El Paso County is there are so many programs and services that exist for people that, you know, they may not know about. And so that education piece of it, I think, is so critical. How do you approach, and how does the department approach, making sure that there are educational opportunities for people who may need these services?
Yeah, well, I mean, one is that we have to do it with kindness. Mm-hmm. I remember the deputy executive director emeritus, Christopher Garvin, always saying, if we could approach things with kindness, then perhaps we could get a better outcome. So we don't come in as a know-it-all. Right. We don't come in as a, well, you didn't know about this? No, right. What we're doing is we're coming in and we're assessing situations where we look at, you know, what's working well. And then we're looking at, okay, you know, we try to build treatment plans or, you know, how to move forward with the family. So it's not the almighty department coming in and saying, know ye that I hereby say you need to do A, B, and C.
Right.
We're sitting down and we're saying, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And then the family, because of an effective rapport that's built, they're saying, you know, perhaps I could use just a little assistance. I've been laid off and, you know, I'm wondering, you know, is there anything that I can do? We have a whole workforce that provides just outstanding service. They provide incentives. They do resume reviews. They help you look for positions that they feel would match as well as positions that you feel. And I will tell you that sometimes people having a place to go at a certain time and they get paid for being there, that eliminates a barrier where they're like, you know, wow, you know, finally, you know, I'm not dealing with this feeling of lack because I can't provide for my family.
Right.
And, you know, we have a phenomenal assistance program here in El Paso County where people are able, if food is what you need, we have so many great people that are in our assistance program. They're able to assess and get people what they need, and we're trying to do that in record time. And, you know, it's just this beautiful system that works. And when all the gears are turning, it really works out where perhaps we can give the family the services that they need or recommend services that they need, and then they take advantage of them. And the only time that they are seeing us is probably when we're passing them by on the highway or something like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
We're not here to be there forever. We just want to make sure that people ultimately get the services that they need.
Yeah, that's great. And then I just wanted to reiterate that phone number that you shared, the Child Abuse and Neglect Reporting Hotline. Mm-hmm. That's 1-844-CO, the number 4, mm-hmm. and kids.
Absolutely, that's the number.
Okay, yeah. Great. And I'll make sure I add that into the show notes so people have easy access to that. So I didn't tell you that I was going to talk about this, but I did want to bring this up. Now he's getting a little bit nervous. I understand that you have been nominated as the Social Worker of the Year for the National Association of Social Workers, Colorado chapter. So first off, congratulations.
Thanks.
That is really cool. Hey, if you don't want people to know stuff, man, you can't put it on LinkedIn, all right? I'm just saying. But second, what does this mean for you personally and for the team here at El Paso County?
Well, I just got to be serious. I mean, you know, I never imagined in my lifetime that I would, you know, get such a nomination. The National Association of Social Work really does, in a way, serve as the ruling guide for how we operate in the community. We have a code of ethics that we must abide by. And, you know, just for someone to take the time to fill out a nomination form and, you know, and put my name on it, you know, it's noteworthy, and I think it's a true testament to, like, my leader, Katanya, Stacy, and now Andrew. Andrew's the new deputy executive director here, mm-hmm. and these people and their support, the way that they model and show the way, and they know the way, it's outstanding. And I'd be remiss if I just didn't mention all the hardworking people here at El Paso County that are out there, and they are, you know, going into the community and sitting down with people. And, you know, all of that really does my heart well. And I try to replicate the energy that they put out, and it's just worked out well. So I'm very happy about this nomination, and I'm definitely yes, I did put it on LinkedIn because I'm super happy about it. I woke up to it this morning.
That's awesome,
and I'm just happy about it. I am.
I'm glad I checked LinkedIn before I came over this morning. Otherwise, I would not have known. So, no, man, that's really cool. Congratulations. That really is awesome. So wanted to move on to something a little bit different. So can you talk about how working with other organizations outside of El Paso County really benefits the programs that you guys work on here within your department?
Well, there's no way in the world that El Paso County Department of Human Services would be able to be as successful as we are without practicing principles that develop partnerships with our stakeholders. And we have so many, and I'm not going to call them out by specific name because sure, I don't want anyone to get, you know, like they mentioned them or didn't mention.
I got you.
But what I will say is that here in El Paso County, they're like in the situation where, you know, there's a decision that's made where kids sometimes would appear that they would be safer outside of their home. Then is when we have to look at, you know, first looking at Ken and seeing if Ken is available. And then in the instance that Ken is not available, we have to look at foster care. And we have so many great partners in this jurisdiction that are able to provide that temporary safe haven for kids. And we would not be able to, you know, one, be able to, you know, ensure the safety of kids. And then, you know, we're always focused on reunification if that happens. But we wouldn't do it. We would not be able to do it without any of the child placement agencies here in El Paso County. We have a great partnership, and again, I won't mention names, but we have a great partnership with nurses. And when there are some concerns that are mentioned in referrals that feature medical situations that, you know, perhaps a social worker would not be the absolute best person to assess it, we are able to, you know, go to the family's home, and we're able to have a nurse there. And, you know, the nurse is able to do an assessment to look at, you know, what's happening. And it's just a beautiful partnership because, you know, a social worker and a nurse working together to ensure the safety of a child or youth, that's noteworthy in itself. Our partnership, you know, extends sometimes to the bench. And, you know, that is, you know, our judicial officers that have to make the tough decisions. We have our county attorneys that, you know, are standing next to us when we're having to, you know, go on the record and talk about, you know, what we see. Mm-hmm. We have our guardian ad litem that look out for the best interest of the kids. We have the attorneys for the parents that are advocating and ensuring that, you know, they are having, you know, as best of an experience that they could have. And I just think that within, you know, 1675, Garden of the Gods, you know, do we have great partnerships with everyone here in public health and, you know, the workforce, just to name a few, child support. It really goes beyond that. And, you know, I will say my favorite one.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm about to get in trouble.
Hey, you know what? I won't tell anybody, all right?
Oh, you won't tell anybody. Okay, cause I'm about to tell everybody. So, sometimes, you know, people need, you know, just assistance. Uh-huh. And I would say in this community, we have what's called the Care Portal. And the Care Portal is just this phenomenal group of people, of citizens that, you know, pool their resources together to, you know, meet the needs of, you know, what our families may be experiencing. And that has been, you know, something that, you know, from my role as the deputy director, that, you know, to sit back and watch, you know, just greatness occur, it's been outstanding. So many families have been able to, you know, in addition to, you know, the resources that they receive, maybe get, you know, a great Christmas gift for their kid, or be able to celebrate a birthday, you know, and just do things that, you know, typically seemed unreachable.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
But overall, we try to be available for the community to partner.
That's awesome. Well, we have covered a lot of ground, Dr. Lesper. I was just wondering if there's anything else you want to add before we close the conversation.
Well, again, Scott, you know, I just want to say thank you for coming all the way over here and and doing this interview. I mean, I am still, you know, I love what you do, where you really humanize the work that folks are doing, because it, you know, and it's just this transparent conversation. I guess, you know, how I want to end things is, you know, by reciting this poem that I think serves as my fuel when it comes to the work that I do. And it's entitled 100 Years From Now. And it goes like this. 100 years from now, it won't matter what kind of car I drove, what kind of house I lived in, how much money I had in the bank, nor what my clothes looked like. But the world may be a little better because I was important in the life of a child. And that's my poem, and I think that that is what keeps me going.
That's awesome. Great note to end on. Thank you. I really appreciate that. So, thank you, Dr. Lesper. I really appreciate you taking the time today for the conversation that we had. I think it is really important to talk about transparency within the organization and just let people know what it is we're doing. I mean, I think it's really easy to look at an organization like a government organization and think, you know, what are they actually doing, right? They take money for their taxes, right? And like, what do we get out of it, right? But really like highlighting the services that you guys provide, I think shares a great, it's a great note to share about, you know, how we really are working to try and help the community. So I appreciate you highlighting all of that and for all the work that you do here for El Paso County. So thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you, sir.
If you are interested in listening to additional episodes of Beyond the Dais, be sure to look for us on Podbean or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.